The mechanical hound slept but did not sleep, lived but did not live in its gently humming, gently vibrating, softly illuminated kennel back in a dark corner of the firehouse. The dim light of 1 in the morning, the moonlight from the open sky framed through the great window, touched here and there on the brass and the copper and the steel of the faintly trembling beast. Light flickered on bits of ruby glass and on sensitive capillary hairs in the nylon-brushed nostrils of the creature that quivered gently, gently, its 8 legs spidered under it on rubber-padded paws. Montag slid down the brass pole. He went out to look at the city, and the clouds had cleared away completely, and he lit a cigarette and came back to bend down and look at the hound. It was like a great bee come home from some field where the honey is full of poison wildness, of insanity and nightmare, its body crammed with that overrich nectar, and now it was sleeping the evil out of itself.
"Hello," whispered Montag, fascinated, as always, with the dead beast, the living beast.
Nights when things got dull, which was every night, the men slid down the brass poles and set the ticking combinations of the olfactory system of the hound and let loose rats in the firehouse areaway, and sometimes chickens, and sometimes cats that would have to be drowned anyway. And there would be betting to see which of the cats or chickens or rats the hound would seize first. The animals were turned loose. 3 seconds later, the game was done. The rat, cat, or chicken caught half across the areaway, gripped in gentling paws, while a 4-inch hollow steel needle plunged down from the proboscis of the hound to inject massive jolts of morphine or procaine. The pawn was then tossed in the incinerator. A new game began. Montag stayed upstairs most nights when this went on. There had been a time 2 years ago when he had bet with the best of them and lost a week's salary and faced Mildred's insane anger, which showed itself in veins and blotches. But now nights he lay in his bunk, face turned to the wall, listening to the whoops of laughter below and the piano string scurry of rat feet, the violin squeaking of mice, and the great shadowing motion silence of the hound leaping out like a moth in the raw light, finding, holding its victim, inserting needle, and going back to its kennel to die, as if a switch had been turned. Montag touched the muzzle. The hound growled. Montag jumped back. The hound half rose in its kennel and looked at him with green-blue neon light flickering in its suddenly activated eyebulbs. It growled again, a strange rasping combination of electrical sizzle, a frying sound, a scraping of metal, a turning of cogs that seemed rusty and ancient with suspicion.
"No, no, boy," said Montag, his heart pounding.
He saw the silver needle extend upon the air an inch, pull back, extend, pull back. The growl simmered in the beast, and it looked at him. Montag backed up. The hound took a step from its kennel. Montag grabbed the brass pole with one hand. The pole, reacting, slid upward and took him through the ceiling quietly. He stepped off in the half-lit deck of the upper level. He was trembling, and his face was green-white. Below, the hound had sunk back down upon its 8 incredible insect legs and was humming to itself again, its multifaceted eyes at peace. Montag stood, letting the fears pass by the drop hole. Behind him, 4 men, at a card table under a green-lidded light in the corner, glanced briefly but said nothing. Only the man with the captain's hat and the sign of the phoenix on his hat at last, curious, his playing cards in his thin hand, talked across the long room.
"Montag?"
"It doesn't like me," said Montag.
"What, the hound?"
The captain studied his cards.
"Come off it. It doesn't like or dislike, it just functions. It's like a lesson in ballistics. It has a trajectory we decide on for it. It follows through, it targets itself, homes itself, and cuts off. It's only copper wire, storage batteries, and electricity."
Montag swallowed. "Its calculators can be set to any combination. So many amino acids, so much sulfur, so much butterfat and alkaline, right?"
"We know all that."
All of those chemical balances and percentages on all of us here in the house are recorded in the master file downstairs. It would be easy for someone to set up a partial combination on the hound's memory, a touch of amino acids, perhaps. That would account for what the animal did just now, reacted toward me.
Hell, said the captain.
Irritated, but not completely angry, just enough memory set up in it by someone so it growled when I touched it.
Who would do a thing like that? Asked the captain. You haven't any enemies here, guy.
None that I know of.
We'll have the hound checked by our technicians tomorrow.
This isn't the first time it's threatened me, said Montag. Last month it happened twice.
We'll fix it up, don't worry.
But Montag did not move, and only stood thinking of the ventilator grill in the hall at home, and what lay hidden behind the grill. If someone here in the firehouse knew about the ventilator, then mightn't they tell the hound? The captain came over to the drop hole and gave Montag a questioning glance.
I was just figuring, said Montag, what does the hound think about down there at nights? Is it coming alive on us, really? It makes me cold.
It doesn't think anything we don't want it to think.
That's sad, said Montag quietly, because all we put into it is hunting and finding and killing. What a shame if that's all it can ever know. Beatty snorted gently.
Hell, it's a fine bit of craftsmanship. A good rifle that can fetch his own target and guarantees the bullseye every time.
That's why, said Montag, I wouldn't want to be its next victim.
Why, you got a guilty conscience about something?
Montag glanced up swiftly. Beatty stood there looking at him steadily with his eyes, while his mouth opened and began to laugh. Very softly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days. And as many times he came out of the house and Clarice was there somewhere in the world. Once he saw her shaking a walnut tree. Once he saw her sitting on the lawn knitting a blue sweater. 3 or 4 times he found a bouquet of late flowers on his porch, or a handful of chestnuts in a little sack, or some autumn leaves neatly pinned to a sheet of white paper and thumbtacked to his door.